Oh, we can just roll on.
Yeah, well, yeah. What up?
What up?
Train wreckers. Train wreckers.
In the house.
On the new couch.
Yeah. There's a new old couch.
Studio's coming together. Gucci and Walker beefing.
They have names. Couches?
No, I was saying Gucci and Walker are, like, Walker Flame or beefing.
Oh, well, fucking, that's, I think we just named the couches.
Yeah, I think we just named the couches.
Which one's Gucci and which one's Waka?
That one's definitely Gucci.
That's what I was thinking, too.
It's bigger.
Futon is definitely Gucci, because it's bigger, it's more versatile.
Though you can't understand a damn word.
Yeah, you can't understand why you don't get a good night's sleep on a futon, either. That kind of works. Shit, speaking of trap swag rap, let's get into it. The conclusion of the fucking Bauer saga epic.
Oh, God.
Story. So, as we reported last time, thanks to YouTube's new rules and the proponent of the fucking, or the proliferation of the horrible Harlem Shake videos, Bauer went to number one and got a bunch of money for that tune. Turns out the people who own the copyright to the samples in that song want their cut.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it's and rightfully so.
I feel like anybody at this point who... people are like, oh, you know, surprised that it was happening, but it's... if you get noticed and are making money, of course, if someone had anything to do with any part of what you used, they're going to want their taste.
Right.
That's like...
And it kind of goes back to when we were talking in the other episode about sampling, and it's like, you can almost be comfortable sampling whatever the hell you want if you're not playing to thousands of people.
Yeah.
And the moment you blow up, it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh shit, I better pull all these old tunes offline because they're all as legal as fuck.
Yeah. There's a reason they're called bootlegs.
Yep. Yeah, there's a reason I'm giving those away. But the main was surprisingly, so there was the dude with the dude that actually says do the Harlem Shake. Rapper, I forget his name right now, from Philly, pretty sure. And neither of the samples in question are really that old. First one is from, or the one from the Do the Harlem Shake one, I think it's like 5 years old or something like that. That dude's getting his. Him and Mad Deason or Jeffries or whoever's handling that shit, talk behind the scenes, he's getting his cut. It's actually the one that's causing the most problem is the Con Los Terroristas sample in the beginning. That sets the whole thing off, because that's, fuck it, now I'm blanking on that dude's name. That's the reggae artist dude who was originally sampled from's tagline, so it's in a bunch of his tunes. As he said, what was the quote? It's like they came onto my land and built a house. Like, fully, I mean, yeah, I can't say that's that's a... inaccurate metaphor.
I mean, that's like if you sampled Tikal and then didn't want to pay Method Man.
Right. Yeah, seriously.
Like no one's gonna...
Right. Or Redman going, ooh, 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 ooh. Like,
yeah.
That's unmistakable who that is. I heard a tune today that I was like, this is a sick tune, but that Busta Rhymes sample is way too obvious. It's just him going like, But it's like... there's no question it's Busta Rhymes. Like, pitch it down a couple notches. Like,
that's
something.
That's all it takes.
Yeah. Like, fuck, I just sampled, what was it? One of my new tunes, I just sampled, like, Pony or something. Because I got the acapella. Just something. I grabbed a rap acapella, and it's, like, one of the ad-libs right at the very beginning. I just needed something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I gotta at least pitch this shit down.
Obvious.
Yeah. Obvious sample is obvious. But, that's what's happening on the Bauer front. hopefully this shit will just finally die. Is it still? I haven't even looked. Is it still number one?
I haven't paid. It's died down.
I had to just withdraw myself from it.
The videos have finally stopped on YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
I've seen less and less.
There was the one from, what's the name of the show? W. Kamau Bell's show. It's on FX. It's like Answer to the Daily Show. It's pretty funny. They did one where, because since nobody actually does the Harlem Shake in the video, they did one where when the drop happens, it's just one dude doing the actual Harlem Shake, nice, with an arrow or something. It's like something pointing to him saying, "This is the Harlem Shake.
This is the Harlem Shake."
And it was like the video to end all of them, and I think that one kind of shut a lot of people up.
Nice.
The thing that gets me about it always is like, no, I understand that no one was doing the Harlem Shake, but I think when he made the song, he didn't think that it was going to have its own video.
Yeah, no, that can't be blamed on him.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It's just fucking... That's like trying to blame the Irma Gerd girl for that meme. Like,
and she should be.
Irma Gerd!
Meme culture.
Love it and hate it.
I've been wondering, though, like, who makes all these... You see them on, like, Facebook, or they used to come in emails, but they're just like... It's just a picture, and then like six paragraphs about some sappy story about that picture. It's like a penguin or something.
Right.
It's like, the oil drillers are killing, and it's just like, share this. If we get 1 million, it's like, fuck you. Like, who gets satisfaction out of making those? Like, I am not going to waste. That's like six. You wrote half an essay.
I love the. Like, there's the hipster version of those, just the lightweight ones, where it's, like, the picture of a sunset and, like, an inspirational quote or whatever. I like the ones that have that shit crossed out with, like, the real shit underneath it.
Yeah.
I can't think of any examples right now, but, yeah, those are some of my favorites. But, yeah, love and hate memes. At first, they're funny as fuck.
And then they get beaten like a dead horse.
Yeah, it's the redundancy.
If I see another fucking Willy Wonka meme. Although the fry meme never really seems to get old for some reason.
Yeah.
That one is not sure if this is still relevant.
But it kind of makes you wonder. You're like, it could be any frame, and it's just that frame in particular. You see that frame, and you instantly have that thought in your head. It's just like flashcards. It's pretty crazy.
Not sure if everybody DJs or if it's just my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might make some meme flashcards. There you go.
Sell that shit.
That's a board game right there if I ever heard one.
Right.
Meme Trivial Pursuit.
You heard it here first.
Parker Brothers.
Yeah. Hit me up, Parker Brothers.
Shout out.
Tums tweeted at me this week. Pretty what? Outrageous. Yeah.
Tums the
antacid. It made me laugh though, because I had tweeted whiskey gives me the worst heartburn, and like I eat Tums occasionally. You guys can sponsor me, but I said that they were magical, and then like 2 days later or something, it's like yes, or it's like abracadabra, heartburn is gone. It was just like, it seriously made my day. It was the funniest.
That's pretty cool, actually.
I was like, oh. Like, they're listening to me. Just
they're out there.
Yeah.
I hate when fucking companies get me to think like that, but that is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, Taco Bell's pretty good with that shit, actually.
Whoever runs Taco Bell's Twitter is on point.
Yeah.
They get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Twitter is better for that shit than say, Facebook. Like,
for sure.
I can't even use Facebook anymore.
Facebook's getting... pretty much the only posts I do are on our private group when we talk about the podcast.
Yeah.
But, no, I was listening to a dude the other day, a couple episodes back, and one of the dudes was like, if you like Coca-Cola or McDonald's or Pepsi or Duracell on Facebook, I can't be friends with you anymore. I instantly unfollow anyone who likes a corporation on Facebook. And it got me thinking, thankfully I haven't really done that with anybody, but it's seriously, how... Yeah,
you're asking for advertisements.
Yes, exactly.
You're opting in for
spam.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Do you want our newsletter? Yeah. I like this. Yes.
But oddly enough, there's people out there who like want that fucking newsletter want that spam. I don't know how they use the internet. Like it scares me. It's just like
okay. It's a different. I feel like those are a dying age of the internet as well.
Yeah. Oh, you think so? I think so. Until you go get like I did customer service for.
I guess.
Air quotes, a major computer manufacturer, because there's fucking Stream out in Beaverton does customer service for a bunch of companies. I did tech support for, you know, the computer company that I can't really say. And the types of calls I got were, like, the first couple weeks, it was mind-blowing. It was really, like...
You mean I have to plug it in?
It's depressing.
It really is. Like, people who... got a new computer and went, but there's no jack for my phone line in the back. How do I connect to the internet? It's like, well, don't you connect the modem via the Ethernet cable? I have a DSL connection. That's all we can get out here. Like, there's still parts of this
country
that that's all you can get is a dial-up, or not DSL, a dial-up.
Yeah, ADSL or whatever.
Like, you have to, like, we had to sell them a special USB adapter because no computer after like 2010 is made with a fucking dial-up modem anymore. So you have to get a USB dial-up modem, which sucks even worse than regular. But there's still people like that. There's people who like accidentally deleted their Internet Explorer icon and thought that they couldn't get online anymore. Like they just deleted the shortcut off the desktop. You know,
there's
like,
a lot of those people. I mean,
a lot of
technology dumbfounds a lot of people.
Oh, dude, okay, so the company was trying to switch their monitors from VGA to all DVI. So we're trying to get all digital HD signals for the new generation, but because a lot of people still have old CRT monitors they don't want to get rid of or whatever, the computers still ship with the VGA cable.
Right.
So you buy the new package, you get an IKEA-like fold-out with a drawing saying white cable goes here, blue cable, if you have this kind of monitor, goes here. The number of calls I got where it was, how can I help you? I just got a black screen. What do you... Okay. At the first couple times, I was like, well, shit, something's really wrong with your computer. Like, let's figure this out. Took a half hour to go through it. After three or four of them, I started to learn to ask, how many cables do you have plugged into the back of your monitor? Two or three? Three? Okay, grab the blue one and unplug it. They would plug both the DVI and the VGA in, confusing the computer. Yeah. Thinking, you know...
It's like, which one do I output from?
So it would just do black screen because it was trying to do the third option of neither of those because it was fucked up.
Yeah.
And, like, it could... Like, I saw the picture and it was a little confusing. But seriously, like, with a little bit of thought...
Yeah.
Any of us would have saw that shit and went, oh, just plug the white one in. Like,
You have to be I mean, it sucks that these people are... You have to be thankful for them. They give plenty of people jobs. They probably need someone to set up their IKEA furniture.
Dude, it's depressing. I have an app on my iPhone called Pulse. Pulls from like a bunch... It's like a aggregator app for RSS feeds and whatever. And Salon gets pulled into there. Salon's pretty good. There was an article in Salon about this... child services worker in Kentucky that she was like saying how she had to teach these new mothers that you couldn't put Mountain Dew in a baby bottle.
What?
And feed it to your children. Your newborn. Because, and like, they just had, it wasn't that they didn't, that they were stupid and were like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to give them caffeine and sugar. They just didn't know.
Wow. Too much honey boo boo in their lives.
Yeah,
I can't even. I literally cannot even put my mind around
this. It was one of those articles. Like I was on the bus, like jaw to my fucking chest.
What? Just,
yeah.
Like, if and you put no,
They had no idea that caffeine... Like, another instance was this dude... Because it was an article about... With, like, they put it a lot nicer, but it was basically backwoods America. Like, just how fucking dumb parts of our country kind of are. Or not dumb, ignorant.
But like, these are people that are probably in... Also, advantage to them, not in internet areas.
Oh, no, no, yeah, exactly. Like, dark this is rural, ages. This is, like... 5 miles down a dirt road, like, way back up in, you know, wherever. This one dude, what was it? It was like, he grows tea leaves for Lipton. And he's out in the middle of Kentucky or wherever. And he's got tea leave farm, and you got to dry the leaves out before you can ship them off to be processed for whatever. So he was taking his leaves and hanging them in this little shed that he made, where he hooked the exhaust from a diesel engine up that pumped into this thing because the smoke dried the leaves out faster. He was able to turn it around faster and get more to Lipton. So Lipton is pushing this product that's all natural.
Jeez.
That was dried with diesel exhaust.
Whoa.
And the dude was like, I had no idea that a diesel exhaust was bad for you. Like, he'd go in there while it was fucking running and fucking...
Why is Lipton, like, multi-contracting, though? Why don't they just have, like, a...
I'm sure they have their own farms and shit, but it's also probably they can get this guy's shit for fucking... Because this dude doesn't know.
Yeah.
Man. Probably get his shit for fucking half the price that it costs to grow their own, because he just doesn't, you know, like, he owns the land, he owns whatever. It's all whatever for him.
Damn.
Like...
He can buy the diesel.
There's some stupid people.
That's ignorant. Like, I mean, he was inventive and like without the knowledge that this shit is terrible and that he's depositing a bunch of heavy chemicals and whatever into these with just the logic and reasoning of the education he had, like, that's a pretty smart idea. Like, this shit dries it out twice as fast. I can make more money. Like, but.
He obviously didn't have Google.
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, he didn't even have dial-up.
I was like thinking about that today, actually. I was thinking about how much the internet has enabled the knowledge. Like, before, it was like limited to your area. Like, almost entirely what you could reach or what was put into your city. And now it's world. You can get inspiration from the world over, anywhere. You can get information, anything you want. And it's like, created these people, like artists, and like, I think about painters in specific, that have these world styles. They're like completely from, they would have never been possible pre-internet.
Oh, it's the same with music.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
like,
it's
just any, it's.
I remember watching that happen on Dubstep Forum. It was insane to watch. Like, dubstep was the first, I mean, we said it before, dubstep was the first genre born of the internet. Like, mm-hmm. It was born in a tiny little club in London, or in, you know, Croydon, but once it caught up, once Dubstep Forum got there, like, mm-hmm. it is what it became because of the internet.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Were the internet not there, it would have just stayed that dark. I mean, which
just the platform for
might have been better, but yeah. And shit, now there's, I mean, there's that that Red. I haven't been keeping up on it, but there's that Red Bull documentary series hashtags.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome,
which
yeah.
is way cool. Talking about all these genres that would not exist pre-internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. It also, I feel like, has sped up the life cycle of it. Like,
yeah,
It's kind of like speeding up its just life cycle. It's like, okay, we're gonna, sure, you grew up faster, but now you're gonna die faster. Like,
yeah, true.
Yeah, I think it kind of pushes a formula for genres a lot faster too.
But in a strange way, because like, as much as that is true, that is totally true. I think about like Witch House or drag as it's becoming to be called again, because Witch House has fallen out of favor, but the music's still being made. Like, she was originally called drag, then it was called Witch House, now it's being called drag again. I've seen that name start to pop up again. Like, that genre won't die. Like, it's been around. Like, not, you know, I've heard some shit that's cool, so I'm not to say that it should.
It's that
can have its own little corner of the internet, but it's I mean, it's been around for what, 7 years at this point?
Yeah.
Like,
it's been, I feel like that movement's been trying to move for a while. It's
kind of like Squee. I mean, Squee 2 mm-hmm. had a slow bubble. It's only, like, had a little peak maybe 2 years ago, but I think this summer will be a little bit of a resurgence for Squee. But yeah, like, it's got that little micro scene on its own. It's like instead of being a local scene tied to a city, it's tied to a corner of the internet. It's tied to a message board, or it's tied to a website.
Like, yeah, that's there's some weird deep. You go down some of those wormholes. I don't like how, I don't know if anyone else's knows this, but YouTube has changed how your videos on the right. You don't show. They show like videos that they think you suggested, but they're not. It used to be like it would link you to all these different videos that you hadn't seen before, they were related. Now they're videos that you'd seen before. Yeah, they're like, well, because you watched this, you've watched this before, maybe you won't watch this again. It's like they've kind of actually cut out the way that I used to dig through YouTube.
Yeah, they should make it an option to switch back to that. Because, yeah, they made it so you could just fall down a fucking rabbit hole.
And you can't really
do craziest shit.
And it's harder to do that now.
Yeah. That's true. Although, well, the not so much on like the Xbox version, like that still pops up like suggested that are similar. That seems to be a version or two behind the internet version. And coming with that kind of global expansion of genres and shit, like we were talking about, is the global audience and like. Like the Machine Drum sparked a couple of interesting conversations I've had over the past couple of days. The Machine Drum, Hannibal Buress, Twitter quote unquote feud. That was just.
I also hate seeing news articles that are like just tweets copy and pasted. Yeah. Like that's really not good. Reporting.
No. Oh, no. No.
We took a screenshot. Off. Here you go.
Yeah, I'm so tired of that.
We could go off on the state of.
But look at how much drama that's considered news is just like ripped off of Twitter right now. Like,
actually, it's more and more. TMZ was like the whole Lil Wayne almost died. Like TMZ false reporting that. The internet.
I'm glad TMZ fucked that one up.
Oh, they needed. I mean, who listens to TMZ? Are you serious?
But they actually do like some of the it's terrible subject matter, but they do some of the better investigative reporting on the internet. It sucks to say it, but it's true. Like if CNN put as much time into getting a story right as TMZ does, the world would be a better place. but. Yeah, that spin, like, I caught it from, Lurky posted the fucking spin article.
It's hilarious. With
it, it's a classic case of someone not taking a step back and reacting, and thinking about how they're reacting.
Yeah.
And how the internet blows things up. But, there's a lot of angles on it. So what we're talking about, Machine Drum was playing the spin hashtag next big thing party at South by Southwest. Hannibal Buress was in the audience. Apparently, Machine Drum's shirt was stretched out and stained from something, or sweaty or something. And Hannibal Buress had a field day taking pot shots at. Which the thing that I like about it,
it was always at the shirt.
At the shirt,
it was shirt.
He never made fun of Machine Drum. He just made fun of his shirt. And some of them were funny, like Homeboy's shirt needs an IV.
Yeah.
I think Homeboy's shirt has osteoporosis. Was one of them. It was just like whatever, and. It was fun. Well, not funny, but you could tell that Machine Drum wasn't paying attention as he shouldn't be while he was spinning. But as soon as he got off, he looked at his phone and saw a flood of at replies of somebody talking shit about his shirt and freaked out on him and said some shit like, "Fuck you, say that shit to my face, let's meet up."
Yeah, roughly.
Classic Twitter blunder.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, how many other people look, if you're having a bad day, you don't want to be ribbed, whatever, but yeah, how many other people out there be like, a comedian is making fun of me?
Yeah.
Fuck yes, I'm going to roll with this and have a good time and like, look like I'm not going to be butthurt. Like, if you can actually just roll with the punches, it looks good.
Yeah, like people should look at this as like, okay, so there's more to the story. Apparently his iPad was glitching out on him earlier in that set, or if I don't know if it was the same set or a set earlier that day, but he was trying the new Tractor app for iPad, and it was glitching out on him, crashed during the middle of a set for like 1,000 people. Like, that's enough to throw anybody off. On the flip, though, he also tweeted earlier that morning that he had just been signed to Ninja Tune, which, like I said earlier, to me, that's fucking, that trumps everything. Like, you could piss on my shoes and fucking puke on my shirt, and then I'd have to go play a set, and I'd still do it with a smile on my face, because that's an actual label still in this day and age. Like, that's amazing. Like, props, Machine Drum, for getting signed to Ninja Tune. Like, and well-deserved. Like, not to say, you know, like, I empathize with the dude. Like, I was talking with somebody else about this, and, I mean, earlier in my career as a DJ, I've done some shit. I cringe so hard when I think back to this. Like, I played a New Year's set in Breckenridge when I was living out there, working on skis and shit, and, it was on these Gemini, shitty-ass Gemini turntables, like, with a plastic platter on the floor of this cheaply built condo that every time somebody took a heavy step, the needle skipped. It was, like, 2001. Like, it was all vinyl. Shitty-ass needles, shitty-ass record player, shitty-ass condo floor. People were getting into it, and they were trying to dance and skipping the needles. We got pillows out. We set the turntables on pillows, and still nothing, like... I was trying so hard. I was trying so hard. And, like, finally after, like, an hour of it, I just stopped both decks. And I was like, if you motherfuckers step on the floor in this area one more fucking time, I'm packing them up and taking them home. Just lost it. And, like, I got 10, 12 faces, because it was a small little house party. I got, like, 10, 12 fucked up faces looking back at me like, what did we do? Like, they didn't even notice it. Like, they didn't even care. You know, so I understand, I empathize. If you're having a shitty day, you're gonna freak out when somebody's fucking talking shit about your shirt, but you gotta remember, it's Twitter, and it's the internet, and people are gonna see you respond to Hannibal Buress with some aggression like that, and have his back, like they did. And some of those were out of line.
It's also 2013, where a musician or a producer isn't just a producer anymore. They do their own PR. Yep. They do all their own networking, all that stuff. It's like how you handle your image is part of being a musician now.
Unless you unfortunately curate an image like Burial, where you're just this mysterious whatever, or whoever does, I don't even know who all does shit, like Daft Punk with the masks and fucking Uzi. Dead Mouse's bullshit. Like, unless you're cultivating that type of personality, like, you have to expect that your followers, number one, are paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever you're in a conversation with, their followers are then paying attention. And I don't know if you guys saw some of the, like, Hannibal's followers at, like one of the worst ones that I was just like, oh, that's below the belt, was it was like, looks like motherfucker's shirt and his hairline are having a contest to see who can get away from his face first.
I actually did.
I was like, oh fuck,
I saw that hurts. But like, I saw that because I followed whoever was that said that, and I didn't realize See, Machine Drum's shirt must have been trending at South by Southwest. Yeah, because,
it got its own Twitter account.
Oh.
There is machine_shirt.
Oh, nice.
And they were, it was tweeting, like, hey guys, lay off. Like, shit like that. It was like, I empathize. Like, to have thousands of people poking fun at you online. And granted, like, people who think they're comedians who aren't crossing over the line and saying just outright mean shit.
Just to be in the moment.
Just piles on. And like that's when you got to just step back and be like, but...
Those people like step out of line and do so, but at the same time you got to realize you shouldn't get offended about things on the internet because in 2 days no one will remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unless
you overreact and make a scene.
Or if you can be like, how can I flip this and make this work for me?
That should be everybody's new internet mantra. When something like that happens, how can I make this work for me?
Absolutely.
Like, I hate to sound so fucking materialistic as that makes me seem, but that's how it is. And you can do it in a way that's not, that doesn't make you look like a douchebag or a fucking like somebody who's just jumping on the fact that you've done this, like,
because
they're like, that shit's blatant too. I just saw something the other day that I was like, really, you're just gonna, it was like the Azalea Banks thing rapping over that verse, or rather, let me rephrase that, because other than, like we said in other podcasts, other than her reaction to what happened, she kind of came out looking good in that. But how that looked originally, with like how it looked like she was just jumping on the bandwagon, if, as long as you don't look like that, like seriously, Hannibal Buress, one of the hottest fucking alt comics out, is making fun of you. Try to make some fun of him.
Yeah.
Think about that shit. Redraft, edit, fucking.
He's in the crowd seeing you play.
Yeah, exactly. He's at the party, and he stayed there long enough to fucking rip on your shirt for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't doing it because he didn't like what was happening.
Yeah.
That's if it sucked that bad, he would have left. Like, he was obviously enjoying it.
It's not like
it.
There's not other options at South by Southwest.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
People just get all up in their feelings and stuff.
Yeah. No, and you gotta watch that shit. Bottom line, that shit never, it's never satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, lashing out at somebody is never satisfying. It never gets you the result you want. And I always come back to that Jay-Z line, like, a wise man once said, don't argue with fools, because from a distance ain't no one able to tell who's who. Like,
that's some truth.
Like, yeah. So,
I
think that's kind of a good spot to
take a break.
Take a little breather.
We'll come back with what's hot.
Yeah.
Strizzy.
Yeah.
It was
a
lot of that. A book report.
A book report.
First ever train records book report.
We read, bitch.
Later, which was kind of nice. Like, still, I was in a fucking headspace for a while because of that shit. And, like, And I thought record stores were gonna still kind of last, like, even through everything. Like, I just was, you know, I mean, they're making a comeback in fucking Portland. You would never know that
they were dead.
They were even dying. Like,
yeah.
Like fucking record stores and comic book shops. Jesus Christ.
Portland's a niche city.
It really is.
Like, we thrive on those niche markets.
Oh, hell yeah. That's part of why I'm here.
Yeah.
I love that about it.
Anything you want, there's probably a culture for it here.
Exactly.
There's like 5 yarn stores. Like,
there's more than that.
The
scrapbook stores in Portland? Yeah, fucking out of hand.
There's that place on MLK called Scrap.
Yep.
That's like just random shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not thrift store.
That's
not
a chain here in Portland. Yeah. Like, they have like a couple of them or something.
And like the bike recycler places. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's fucking, it's beautiful. Love it. But yeah, like, I never thought that the community of the records, because even here in town, like, it's not quite, there's a handful of shops that still kind of have it, but for at least for electronic, like,
mm-hmm.
that side of the what was good about record stores is kind of gone. Like, you go into Platinum and, you know, they're just like there, like just tending a dying store essentially.
Oh, I remember even just going to somewhere like Warehouse Music or Blockbuster. I had a friend working at Warehouse Music and it'd be like Tuesday.
Oh yeah,
and I'd be like, dude, you have my order in. Mm. Go in and pick up my CDs. It wasn't records, but it was CDs. I was way into like hardcore and indie rock at that time.
Oh shit!
And it was one thing to look forward to is that Tuesday that would roll around and be like, fuck yes, I'm gonna go drop like 50, 60 bucks and not even think about it.
Yep. Oh yeah, no. When I was growing up, yeah, that was fucking, that was, because the record store, there were two in town. The one that got the more obscure shit without having to order it was way overpriced. And then the other one was On Cue. It was like one of those Sam Goody type chains.
Right.
And they'd special ordered anything. So that was like my candy store. Fucking fine shit. I used to get CMJ Music Monthly, the little half size magazine.
Yeah.
And it came with a CD with like 20 songs on it. And there were usually 3 or 4 songs on there that got me to buy that artist's album almost always. Like, fuck, I learned about so many good bands on there. I can't even think. it's like thinking back, it's overwhelming, like how many good tunes were on those discs. But yeah, like, it's a bummer. Like, it would be cool to try to, like, we've talked about it before, it'd be cool to try to build something online that's similar to that
Dat Piff
culture. Yeah, Piff's kind of got that.
Honestly, I mean, that's
that Piff does kind of got that.
It's that people are out there. I mean, I sit there. I know Tuesdays are a big day usually. Still, mm-hmm. even in that, mm-hmm. Mixtapes are dropping like every day. I mean, there's stuff dropping. I mean, constantly new stuff, and there's a lot of spam, which I feel like drives a lot of people away from the internet. There's spam bots ruining the internet.
No, and that kind of, like, you know, that we're going to talk in this next section here a little bit about promotion shit. Like, that's what the book review is about. It's a friend of the show, Strange Flow, wrote a book about guerrilla marketing techniques and passive cash flow, which is a pretty good read. And we're going to talk a little bit about other types of promotion and online shit you can try to work out and are... what we've learned a little bit through the Bronisonic shit, because I mean, I picked up a few things already.
Yeah.
I mean, but...
And some things that I don't even know how we did.
yeah, like, without... We haven't gotten any blog support yet, but we're still, like, when we dropped the new Bronisonic releases, we were getting close to 200 listens a day, which is, I mean, I'm happy with that for sure. You know, I think we're at close to 300 downloads. You know, we'll pull a little behind the curtain on that. 300 downloads for all the songs on it, and another couple hundred on the Bandcamp page. You know, so thank you to everybody who's downloaded it, who listens to the show.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Next one's coming out soon, along with another, or with a release from Uncommon Sense.
It'll be
out very shortly, actually. And we're going to be trying to figure out some more ways to promote that and then kind of relay in what we've been doing. So far, what we've learned is people like to listen on SoundCloud a lot more than they like to listen anywhere else.
Yeah.
So definitely SoundCloud is a big... I mean, we all kind of knew it, but it just kind of reinforced the fact that SoundCloud is a big fucking promotional tool in this day.
The huge built-in audience.
Yep.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's SoundCloud rules the music world online. Mm-hmm. Between Pandora... Pandora is for people that don't know what they want to listen to.
Yeah,
exactly.
And,
Spotify too.
Or, I mean, yeah. I mean, they know, but they don't... They just have, like, a rough idea.
Basically. Well, I mean, there's also a lot of people who... just listen to music to have something in the background. They're not digging for songs. They work at a freaking salon or somewhere, and they're like, we have to have a station on, put on Pandora.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean,
Pandora's perfect.
There's plenty of plausible uses for it, but I feel like people that are looking for new music, if you're looking at... I don't know of anywhere else where people... Like,
yeah, no, SoundCloud
it's a branded name at this point.
It's one of the closest approximations to that record store culture. Mm-hmm. Because especially with the new features, and I'm kind of hoping, I don't know if you guys saw the email about when they did the pro thing, they did the email about the new pro accounts, which...
I didn't get that, so I think it might have been...
I upgraded the night before to the, not the biggest package, but the, I forget how they labeled it out before they did the...
It's like, it was like light and... something and they were it was too many versions, too many different steps, and they if you guys haven't seen or if you're new to SoundCloud, they changed their paid packages from four different scattered options to two. Pro account, which gives you 4 hours of space, which I've always like a little sidebar, I've always liked that they do it time-wise versus megabytes or something like that-wise.
That's an amazing thing to give away. Like, for even a free account, though, the fact that, it was 2 hours or something? Like, 2 hours to, like, free, like, for somebody like me, who when I first started making, you know, maybe 3-4 minutes or something. So it's like, wow, that's a lot of...
Yeah, to somebody, or even the people who just pretty much just listen and might throw a little weird thing up here and there, like, 2 hours is a lot of time.
Yeah, it is.
Like, really only people who don't think 2 hours is enough time are DJs.
Yeah. But then you've got, like, what is... How much?
You get the pro, which gives you 4 hours, gives you access to all the stats.
Well, what was that... What's the mixing... What's that one that a lot of DJs use?
Oh, the new...
Well, there's, like, another website.
Oh, Mixcloud.
Mixcloud.
There we go.
Yeah.
Mixcloud is interesting.
But I haven't... Yeah, I mean,
yeah, we can get... Well, I'll talk about that in a minute, because I've had mixed reactions with Mixcloud. With the SoundCloud shit, there's the Pro, and then there's the Pro Plus or something like that.
I think that's what it's called.
Which gives you unlimited recording time, or unlimited time, but their limit was, I think it's 2 gigs of data a month, which still, that's a fucking ton.
Yeah. So
unless you're doing, like, a mix every day, like, that's in waveform, like, that's more than enough for a month.
Yeah.
And then it also gives you the one layer of stats that I've... It's almost worth that extra couple bucks.
Oh, the...
sources.
Yeah.
Right now with the pro account, which...
Dude, the hilarious part about that, it's like, I love stats, and the initial reason why I paid for it was because of the stats.
Mm-hmm.
But the sources, that's like the crack for stats.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they know what they're doing by making that the most... costly plan, because if you like stats, you want to know as direct as possible.
And they're like, we'll wet your whistle with the listens and the download and all that shit stats. Like, we'll show you what countries people are downloading from, but we won't show you how they got there. Which that's
they know that.
Yeah, no,
they're stats.
And to be fair, the extra step up definitely worth the extra $5. It's just I don't really feel like I need it at this point. Because, I mean, even the ability to see who listened and who downloaded and that shit, like, you know, if you can check your stats week by week and see if you've got a super fan who's listening, using your shit like a radio station and listening to your songs 20, 30 times in a month, like, shoot them something extra. Like, give them a tune that's not posted anywhere that they can then covet and tell all their friends, like, holy shit, this guy's the best. He fucking talks directly to, you know, like, oh, fuck. Little sidebar about that shit. I don't remember if I talked about it on the podcast or not. If I did, I have to issue a little bit of an apology. So I got a crazy tweet the other day from a homie down in LA, JR, a buddy I knew from the Grapevines days. I don't know if he listens to podcasts or not, but if he does, shout out to JR. He was like, I was on Reddit and poking around, and I found this dude named Kid Logic. Thought it was you, started talking to him. Turns out he's just a really big fan. And fucking took your screen name, like, because he likes your shit. I was like, fuck, because I've been cursing. Like, that dude is the reason I'm not on Reddit. Because I went and I was like, what? Shit's taken? Fuck it, I don't want to be KidLogic42 on another website. And just gave up. So, like, apologies. Like, not some asshole who doesn't know how to use Google. In fact, probably somebody who uses Google very well and found a lot of my shit.
That's kind of awesome. It's yeah. Kind of surreal.
Yeah. Yeah, very surreal. Because, like, that's a super fan. Like, had I known, and I've been meaning to get on, eventually I'm going to get on there and shoot dude a message and be like, hey, man, here's some tunes. Enjoy. Nice. Here's some mixes that aren't online anymore. Because I can't be mad.
Right.
But, fuck, I forget where I was going with that. But, you know.
Talking like, about SoundCloud?
Just knowing, being able to see through downloads and shit, like, who your super fans are, and shooting them some extra content. Like, give them a reason to go tell their friends why you're the shit.
It's also cool with that stats, like, knowing, like, somebody might have reposted your stuff, and you go and, like, follow who probably listened through them listening to it, and you're like, oh, wow, this person actually had some pull just by listening to my stuff, because people like what he listens to or respect what he curates musically. It's like, okay, that's
pretty
powerful.
We've talked about that a little bit before already. Just like, you follow the right people on SoundCloud and you're gonna get a stream of awesome music every day if you find the people with that good taste. And that, you know, like, that comes, you gotta go on there and you gotta. I was talking to Keelan, past guest, friend of the show, Keelan King. A couple weekends ago was his birthday, and we went out, and got some ribs and shit, and he had, like, a party, and we were talking about that, and you know, like, he does very well outside of the SoundCloud realm. Like, his Bandcamp numbers are good. Like, he's got a lot of promo in other sources. Mm-hmm. He's got people going directly to KeelanKing.com, which you all should check out. Like, there's a ton of good music on there. But we were talking about SoundCloud, and I was like, you know, telling him about Brown Sonic, yeah, we're getting, you know, 200, 250 a day. He was like, holy shit, how the hell are you doing that? I was like, well, it's, from what I can see, it's a lot of the reposting, it's the commenting, it's really just working that platform. And especially with the new features that they did of the reposting. The reposting is probably the most powerful feature.
I was saying that, yeah, I knew that was going to be that was like the game changer tool for SoundCloud right there. Because they had people already curating things, but they had to curate them by likes.
Yeah.
Because you could play someone's likes all the way through, but now they have the control that, and also making sets, which hasn't been as well implemented yet, but it's going to.
Yeah, I just don't think people have really
realized,
started to do
that. But it will be, that will be the next way, is instead of reposts, it will be
sets. Maybe we should try to kick, because sets don't, like, if you're reposting things to a set, that doesn't take any of your time out from your uploads.
Reposting doesn't either,
right,
though.
So we should... No, it doesn't take any. Yeah. So we should start... I'll say this on here. We should start a Bronisonic radio, quote-unquote, SoundCloud account. that people can then follow, and we can take shit that we're digging and we can curate it into that account and build sets for people to listen to. Like, I would just like that personally, like, just to have all your guys' input on a playlist for when I'm at work, just like, I want to listen to something, but I can't think of what I want to listen
to. That's a good point. Should,
you know, like, I think we could do that. We'll you know, we'll talk a little off mic about that, but yeah, we should do that. But exactly that. The repost feature is fucking big. Like, yeah. I mean, I noticed pulling it, you know, behind, I mean, the Bronisonic account has, the numbers are growing steadily, but we're only, you know, at a moderate, or a modest, about 100 followers so far.
Which, all right, which grew over
a couple days.
Yeah,
which was awesome.
Because yeah, it, when we initially had it, there was like 40 followers, and the plays were way outweighing the followers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so obviously it was not from an. It wasn't like we had a base of people built. It was obviously from reposts.
Yeah,
and you could see that it was visually. Well, yeah.
And I mean, I've had my SoundCloud. It's funny, when I got the pro account, I tried to look at my stats for the entire life of the SoundCloud account, and it was like, fuck you. There's no way I can pull up that much data. I've had my shit since, I think, since like 2 months after they started.
Oh, wow.
Like, because it was on Dubset, like, being on Dubset Forum, as soon as that site dropped, somebody posted it and was like, hey, check this shit out. It's pretty cool. And everybody on there started signing up and sharing tunes. And so I have, I think, 5 or 6 years worth of data.
Damn.
So yeah, they were like, fuck off. We don't even have all that anymore. Like, yeah. We purged half of that shit 2 years ago. But like, in that time, I've organically amassed like 4,000, I think I'm at like 4,350 followers. Which... I'm very stoked, and I love every one of my followers for clicking that button. But I know that it was also just an organic thing that kind of happened. I mean, it took 5 years to get that. Every time I reposted one of the Bronisonic things, it would get us 100 plays. And it was, you know, it was like... And it wasn't... The cool thing was, like, I would repost one tune. Like, I started doing it strategically. Like, I would repost one tune... saving a couple more for a couple days later and get us 100 plays, but it wasn't just that one tune. Like, people would find that one and go, hey, that shit's pretty cool. Dude, see that it's part of a set.
Nice.
Click through and then listen to all of our other shit. So, you know, repost, that's, I'll say it again, reposting is a powerful fuck feature. And the thing that I liked about that email, to bring it way back to the beginning of that thread, the email that they sent out when they upgraded the subscription plans also mentioned something about better social integration and better messaging features, which right now, that's my biggest beef about that platform, is I have 4,000 some followers. I can't send a message to all of them.
Yeah.
They clicked on the button. They opted in. They're cool with me telling them something.
There's a way, like, there's all, see, the thing about SoundCloud, they're really cool with hackers. They're actually built by hackers. There's a lot. Mm-hmm. They actually take part in like National Hack Day and all sorts of other weird things. So there's like scripts you can put in to message all of your followers because people do it. Mm-hmm. I get spam
mail. Right. Yeah.
And
right.
So there obviously is ways. And I don't know if you guys have been getting it lately. I've been getting a serious influx of spam mail. Actually, it's all the same message, and it's basically like, your beats are really great. Like, would you like to promote? It's this way. And it's like,
oh, God.
Oh, yeah, I got one of those.
I have 10 of those in the last 3 weeks.
I got, okay, so the one that it cracked me up, because I haven't uploaded anything to my Kid Logic account in months. I've been focusing on other shit. And so I've been promoting a ton of shit on the Bronisonic account. On my personal Kid Logic email, I got an email that said, hey, I noticed you've been posting a lot on SoundCloud. Which kind of sparked my interest, because I was like, well, how the fuck do you know that was me?
Yeah.
Because there's no direct trace other than that it's a Kid Logic production, but like, there's no way that you could tell that it was me doing a lot of that behind the scenes shit. Because it's not tied to that. So, I get that email and it was like, let me show you how to gain a ton of followers and get a bunch of blah, blah, blah. You know, typical spam bullshit. But it had a person's name instead of a company for the return address. And it was like a seemingly legit email. So I was like, well, let me try something. And I sent him a message. I was like, hey, you know, I haven't been posting to my personal account. I explained, you know, like how the email that you sent this to is not linked to the account that I've been posting a ton on SoundCloud about. Mm-hmm. So how did you find me? And if you're that good at finding me, let's talk about some other promotional techniques instead of me buying 1,500 likes for $20. Because that's bullshit, but I want to know how the fuck you found...
Yeah.
No response. Yeah. So I'm sure it's some other... Like, it's probably... Maybe it's from my reposts or some bullshit, whatever. But I was kind of excited for
a second. I'm shocked you didn't get a follow-up response that was like, okay, put your credit card in here.
Right. It's eerie the amount of... I've been using Twitter a lot more, and when you use certain words, you instantly get a spam response.
Yeah.
And it is... It's almost... It's not really that eerie because I know no one real is actually wasting their time searching those things. But at the same time, you have a bot that when that word comes up, they instantly send a link to me. It's like, no, but who gets the satisfaction out of doing... Like,
well, if you click that link, then they make their 3 cents.
Oh. I guess. I just never click...
Or install some bullshit.
Or install some malware on your shit. Or
hack your Twitter or whatever.
But it's just one of those... It's just...
No, I've innocently followed Fart Robot when I first got on Twitter.
Wow.
Because I was just like looking for people to follow and just saw Fart Robot. I was like, oh, that's funny, whatever. And Fart Robot is a bot that scours Twitter for any instances of the word fart and retweets it. It usually does it in bursts. So if you catch it in a burst, it's just like 15 like... Jamie farted in my... And now my room smells. JoJo just farted right in my face.
That's hilarious.
It's pretty funny. But I was like, oh, okay, that's how Twitter works. Like, it was kind of funny that it was a sideways way for me to learn a little bit of how... Shit, I've been following Fart Robot for, like, fucking 4 years or however long I've had my Twitter account. It was one of the first ones I found. But, yeah, I was like, okay, this is how this shit works. But yeah, so SoundCloud... To bring it back, definitely one of the strongest bits of promotion out there. Either of you guys paid for a Facebook post by chance?
Never. No.
I will never, ever, 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 ever.
I've thought about it only because it's so cheap, and I'm curious how good the reach is.
It's funny, like, I see people really bitch about, like, when they pay for promotion like that among, like, musicians. And it's just like, well, it's there.
Yeah. I mean,
if it sucks that it costs money. It sucks it takes away an aspect about a social networking site that if you're following somebody, you should be able to see what they're saying.
Yeah.
But do you want to, like... block yourself from being able to take advantage of it now that you have to pay for it? Like, it's just kind of a big debate, you know?
Because it really... I mean, it's... I think the first time when they were rolling it out, they offered me... And I fucking slept on it like a dumbass. I should have took the freebie one. They offered me... They sent me a coupon and said, hey, you know, try this out. Here's a coupon for one free ad.
Huh.
Or one free pushed promoted post. And I just... didn't have anything going at the time and just kind of forgot about it, and it expired, unfortunately. But I had a friend that I follow, one of my old Dubstep FM chat room buddies, BSOD. Actually, it's funny, like I met him on...
It's a great name.
Yeah. And he makes like weird IDM, Aphex Twin kind of bass music-y...
Nice.
Good shit. Actually, his new... I'll give him a quick plug. He did a Kickstarter project, funded his new project, which he took the Aphex Twin thing where, you know, there's that Aphex Twin track where if you do the sonogram or stereo spectrogram or whatever of the sound, it shows like a face.
What? Seriously?
Seen that?
I didn't know.
There's one, it's like, there's a song where imprinted in the white noise, if you process it in some way, it's a, I forget what it's called, a spectrogram. I think it's a spectrogram. It shows a face in the white noise. So BSOD took it, he figured out how Aphex Twin did that, took it a step further. Every one of his tracks has a picture that goes along with the song built into the track.
That's insane.
That's awesome.
And his Kickstarter was very cool because he was doing like, you know, minimum was like you get a copy of the CD, whatever. But you do like a higher bid and you got prints of all the spectrographs.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was very cool. So, but bring it back, like he was, he actually even said it in the promoted post. He used the promoted post option and he was like something like, fuck it, Facebook's giving me the chance so I'm paying for this shit, blah 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 blah, and then he pimped his shit. And the way that works, like, he's got, you know, a couple hundred followers or friends or likes or sure, whatever it is on Facebook, and then a couple thousand friends. I think a total of like 5,000 people saw that based on how his network spread out. So
I just don't,
'cause you, I hate it. I fucking hate it.
I just don't like the idea of paying for my post to on a social network.
That's the part that I hate.
It sucks, but at the same time, it's like people are still using this. It's not going away. Do you want to not?
You should, because the next thing is you have to pay for all your posts to show up.
Yeah,
that's the next step. This is the first branching step, and that's where it starts.
No, when I agree,
is when people start to be like, oh, I'll pay the $5 or whatever it is, or $10.
At the same time, though, I'd rather see somebody like a BSOD have a post that's, it sucks he had to pay out of pocket for it, but I'd rather see that than see the new cheeseburger at McDonald's in my feed.
Yes.
Like, the, you know, if the advertising is going to let the little guy actually get in my feed instead of some bullshit like the fish poppers that just came out at McDonald's.
No, the only problem I have with it is there was a time where when I posted something, it went to everybody on my friends list.
Right. Yeah.
That is no more.
Yeah.
And that bugs me. Like, if it was...
Because it makes you think what they're filtering, too.
Yeah, and how do you decide who I'm seeing?
Yeah.
Like, that's... I know I'm friends with way more than the people that are actually on my feed. So just because somebody only posts a couple times a year, like, I don't get to keep up with them anymore? It's, like, fuck off.
I feel like that's the problem with a lot of internet sites at this point. A lot of them are actually geared with YouTube the same way recently. That not showing you, it's showing you all these things you've already seen.
It's showing, like, you what they think
you
want to see, and not like, what you want to see.
It's like, I literally want no connection with anything else. I just want to go down this little wormhole of YouTube into the weird wavy
but
section.
It's also doing that, so it puts people in a corner where it's like, well, fuck, I know everybody's getting fed this stuff that doesn't have me in it. I'm going to whip out the credit card now, and I'm going to pay for advertising. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, the Facebook thing, the paying for a Facebook post would be totally cool with me, especially at the price point. Because, I mean, for, you know, fuck it, it's $6.50 or something like that is how much it costs. Like, that's nothing. That's cool. Fine. But if it was... the people that are, like, if I have 1,000 friends, if that 1,000's friends' friends all get to see that post because I paid that, I'll pay $20 for that. Like, because that's tens of thousands of people at that point. Like, if I have 1,000 friends who all have, like, I'll just say because I have a bunch of friends who follow or are my friend on Facebook because they can't find my fucking fan page. I'll say, you know, including those people, average person's got 300 to 500.
Yeah.
So if that 1,000 people spread out to say 300, that's 300,000 people that get to see it, even if it's a fraction of that.
Yeah.
I would be beyond happy to give you $20 for that kind of exposure.
And it also makes you think, it sucks that something that was initially free and, like, this, like, way to mass communicate and follow people has been kind of
Well, they should just change the name of what it would be.
But I'd go spend $20 elsewhere on some sort of promotion.
Yeah.
I'd go spend $20.
If
I don't
know. Get that kind of reach, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I just feel that the fact that it's the way they're changing how the program is being used.
Yeah.
It was used for, like, you know, social interactions between people online type of thing. But now it's more of a online marketplace. They're sure. trying
it's,
to,
it's that's kind of the life internet. Cycle of any yeah. yeah.
It's like, its own internet.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a
The shit thing about it is that it's so big at this point
mm-hmm.
that it's like every time something disruptive comes along, I'm like, can this fucking finally kill Facebook? But no, a fifth of the planet is on Facebook.
You cannot delete posts from your phone on Facebook.
No, did you see my double post? Yeah, the musical album post was just, a double post. Yeah,
you can't delete off of a phone.
And yeah, it is funny. It's like, you're going to charge every mofo who wants to promote themselves for an ad, but you can't fix your phone app?
And you know what pisses me off? I think Facebook and Apple are in fucking cahoots, because every time I get an iOS update, a day later I get a Facebook update, and if I don't do the iOS update, Facebook doesn't run right.
Did you guys see that Facebook and Netflix made a deal, though?
Yeah.
Ooh, scary.
It's nothing. It's not... It's You know what it's going to be? It's going to be like Spotify. The bullshit Spotify, like, Luke just watched
Yeah, I know, such and but such. It's just like that even more... I mean, Netflix already popped up a lot on Facebook as it was. Like, people... Netflix is like every other six posts, but...
You know what I would like, though? Which would be kind of cool? Give me an Xbox app or an Apple TV app or whatever app. Like, something that works on my TV where... I can have Netflix up in a, you know, 7/8 of the screen window,
mm-hmm.
and then underneath it, a little chat with a handful
like a,
of invited
like
friends.
Like a party feature on
yeah,
Xbox.
Yeah, you can do that on Xbox. You can have
really?
A party.
Yeah. I'm not sure if... I've never done it, so I'm not sure
they,
if there's
they
a
took
communication
it, there
feature
There was a way
it.
On Netflix. They tried to run it mm-hmm. initially, and it was really annoying, because it dropped back to, like, a Mystery Science... feel, and so you'd see your avatar sitting in the audience in front,
yeah,
and then the movie would be on the screen, but you could watch it with like your all your friends all at the right. same.
Yeah, this ain't Turntable FM.
But it crashed. They took that out.
But like, cause like, there's what that there's that Get Glue, which is kind of like that,
mm-hmm.
but none of them have really. If it was integrated into the app and done in a way that was out of the way, it'd be kind of cool.
Kind of, but at the same time, like, I'd just rather watch the movie in your house with you than...
No, that's true.
I mean, no, let's just stop trying to disconnect each other.
No, that's
a little
true.
Bit.
That's true. That's true. That's totally true.
How can we not see each other even more?
but still relate with that, why we're friends that
I'm actually
don't
gonna
hang out.
Buy 3 iPads so that we can FaceTime... 3 people at one. And
maybe we could just start doing that for the podcast.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like the Dubstep FM days where there was, I remember a couple times doing the shambles and the smoke session shows where there'd be 6-7 of us in the living room all on a laptop talking to each other in the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
And then like every once in a while the whole room would be, ha ha ha.
No, we're, I was talking
at least
about...
we're playing WoW.
I was talking about that with my buddy the other day. He's like, pretty eventually it'll just be everyone with a TV on that no one's watching it. They're all looking at their iPhone and just random. Eventually. No one's talking, but they're all online with each other anyways. But just
shit, it's like you go out and eat with certain groups of people, and it's like they're holding more of a conversation with each other on Twitter and Instagram than they are across the table, and it's fucking hilarious. Everybody tagged each other but hasn't said a word to one another.
Have you seen that thing where people do where you take everybody's phone and set it down in a pile face down, and whoever grabs their phone first has to pay for the entire meal?
Oh.
Ooh.
That's some future shit right there.
I like that.
Yeah, the
smart that would break some people.
Oh, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, some of these people... I've seen mm-hmm. people that
twitching
cannot go... They need that thing. Like, honestly, I don't know how people can do it, because my thumb goes sore after, like, a few... few minutes.
Well, it's like when at the Beam show, I was telling Carrie, I was like, I forgot my phone at home, and it's kind of weird not being able to pull out my phone during a show whenever I'm like not having a conversation with someone because I get all fidgety.
Yep.
Like that used to not be an issue a long time ago.
I've always been a fidgeter, so like I always
been fidgety, but yeah, like you didn't have that thing to fall back on.
Exactly, a security blanket.
It's yeah. really nice though, because when I'm having a bad time at a show, I just go off on Twitter. Like that's all I do. I'm just like, well, all my friends are still here. No, so I'm just
Beam gonna... was so good though. I was just like, oh,
yeah. Okay. Or share praise.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, and to be fair, like the one thing I always liked about online, like internet radio, is like I always just say, it's like being at the club where you can talk to people, but you don't have to fucking yell,
yeah.
And you can hear the music perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was like for as much as it was funny that we were all sitting there talking on a thing, like we had the music cranked so much that if you were trying to have a conversation, it was a challenge. Yeah. So it was actually easier to talk on the chat room, but it was just funny that fucking. Six of us on IRC. Yeah.
Chat rooms changed how then. I mean, that was a pretty crucial part of where I would have been. I used to hang out on DeviantArt chat rooms. And that started my. I mean, that. I spent weeks. I was like a part of this group that did stencils a lot. And we would all, like, just between chatting or whatever, but there was like a weekly stencil competition that we would all do, and it was like a worldwide collective of people. Nice. So there would be like a theme, like food or like whatever, and everyone would make stencils, post up pictures of what their stencil was. It was voted next. Whoever won made the rules for next week, basically.
Nice.
But it was like I feel like that grew my craft like beyond, because you'd make a stencil, you'd be like, yeah, this is fresh, and you'd see what everyone else came up with. You're like, dang, like I didn't even.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, that's how the Bronasana comp feels to me. To be
Team
honest.
Team Supreme's been doing that too. I mean, they do every week on Tuesday. It's like they have less than an hour or something.
Yeah, the fucking Beat Cypher shit.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I love that. That brilliant. Is the. They have been killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, how long do they give people to.
I feel like they give it to them in the morning or something, or the night before, but they don't have long. I was reading their website and they say, like, they're given like an hour or 2 hours or something ahead of time, but
maybe we could.
Damn.
Yeah.
Maybe we could, cause okay, so like, do you guys know about the 111 movement or anything? Have I ever talked about not 111 in town or anything to do with that? Just the it was an online thing. I don't know if the 111 BPMs thing. No.
Mm-mm.
That's where the 3 hour.
Okay.
Exercise that I was talking about came from. Through Dubset Forum, it was a small group of us in the Secret Ninja Hideout came up with this idea to try to spark a movement, try to come up with our own genre, and rather, like, we really liked the early principles of dubstep, of it being basically anything at 140 BPMs with bass.
Mm-hmm.
That was the early rule for dubstep was that. So we were like, well, let's pick a new tempo. And let's have, like, ideas and come up with contests. Well, not contests, but just, you know, themed
mm-hmm.
production things, whatever. And the first thing we came up with was, first we came up with the tempo was 100 BPMs, or 111 BPMs. And the second thing was the 3 hour rule. And that was our first, like, 111 compilation. We made a forum and we had, like, a little spot where we could all kind of congregate. And the rules were the same as I said with the 3 hour thing, except it had to be 111 BPMs. So it was, you had 3 hours of creative work possible for each tune. So creative meaning not counting the EQing, mix down, you know, like the tedious shit.
Yeah.
Like, cut out the tedious shit, keep it just the creative shit. Work on it for 3 hours with breaks if needed, but just no longer than 3 hours. After 3 hours, all you could do was the mix down and EQing, tweaking type shit. And then you posted it when you were done with that on the forum. And every couple weeks, we made a new compilation. And, you know, it was pretty cool. Like, just to have that little corner, you know, like
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where some shit popped up. Like, it would be cool. Like, would so listeners, would you like if we could come up with a way to do a forum on the site? Would that be something anybody be interested in? Like,
it's gotta be. There's people out there.
I know we got a lot of. Oh, fuck, I meant to. I'll look that up while I'm talking. We got a couple comments on the last post, and shout out to everybody who commented.
Yeah.
Chrissy Valentine, shout out to Chrissy.
Yeah.
Fucking getting in Twitter beef with Danny Brown. What are you doing, yeah. girl? shout out to Strange Flow, fucking for sure.
Oh yeah, about the book. We didn't. Oh touch right. On that
yes.
Much.
Let's do our what's hot in the streets and fucking wrap this shit up. So book report time. You can get all the links on basedelic.com. I don't have the exact links. But our friend Will Strangeflow wrote a book, which I'm going to bring it up right now so I can get the exact title. It's a book about marketing and promoting yourself in the digital age, and also ways of setting up passive sources of income using your music. You know, so that hopefully you can set up enough of these little side passive sources of income that you don't have to work a shitty 9-to-5 to give you more time to create more content for your passive sources of income to become a nice positive feedback loop of money that pays your rent. Ain't gonna make you rich, ain't gonna be blinging out, but
it'll let you do what you love.
Exactly. It'll let you follow your passions. So the full title is Guerrilla Blueprints for Creative Passive Income by Strangeflow. And it's actually a really good read. I really like his very easygoing writing style. It's very conversational. A lot of parentheticals and kind of sidebars and jokes. And fun to read. Makes it go by quick. He covers the idea of kind of life hacking, like changing your mode of thought so that you're in a more positive mindset, which he calls championism, which I think is kind of self-explanatory, like be your own fucking champion, like think like a fucking champion.
Yeah,
essentially. And the other side of it is sparking ideas for, as he put it, creative passive income sources. One of his tenets is gray hacking. And he describes gray hacking as finding the space between two niches and making it your own. So, like one of the ideas he came up with was making soundtracks for comic books. Like, find somebody who you... Like if you got a graphic novel that you fucking just dig the shit out of, you know, you've read it 5 times, and you know that each time you read it, it takes you approximately an hour. Go through and line some shit up. Fucking make a soundtrack for that graphic novel that other people will read and hopefully will time up close.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, or you can somehow give cues, you know, maybe to, like, I don't want to say go as far as, like, those old record player books with the, turn the page.
Yeah. But,
you know, like, I'm sure you could come up with a creative way to do that without having a fucking blatant signal. You know, like, and who else is making soundtracks for comic books? Nobody.
There's one guy.
Marvel just came out with an app.
I have this one guy that, I don't know who he is. This guy checked out. He started following me or something on SoundCloud, I think it was. But he's a comic book artist and a musician. And so he does both of them. He writes...
Nice.
He writes, like, music out to his comic book.
That's and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
You need to link that or something, because I would like to check that dude's
out. Yeah, it's pretty rad. I was like, wow. And it's like, he does it semi-annual, it seems like. So I was like, wow, that's a awesome. Good idea.
Hell yeah.
That's a fucking great idea. Like that, or another one he suggested was do a Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, Wizard of Oz type thing with one of your favorite movies. Like, you know, and you post that shit, like he used the example of the Gray album, Danger Mouse's Gray album, as a gray hack, which it is. Like, it's Yeah. Before that album, there was nothing like it. Since it, there's been a handful of things that tried to copy it, but nothing captured that fucking shit. And look what it got Danger Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, he didn't make a dime off the Grey album itself.
Actually, he lost.
And yeah, he lost quite a bit.
Yeah.
But the publicity and notoriety that it gained him got him Gnarls Barkley amongst many other projects and things. Fucking Gorillaz, Gnarls Barkley, like, that two shit, those two projects alone outweighed any loss.
Was that prior to Mad Villainy?
Yes. All of it.
Okay. Yeah. So, wow.
And the Danger Doom shit.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably pretty, like, that's a fucking cool album.
That was one of the best. Adult Swim knows what they're doing when it comes to music.
Yeah. If anybody doesn't know about Adult Swim's music side, you're sleeping.
Well, you go download. They already know Flying Lotus. So,
well, yeah. Fly Low got his start on that shit. But talk about fucking promotion.
Yeah,
getting your music on an Adult Swim bump. But you know, like, fuck, they write some new soundtrack music for Super Jail.
Yeah,
post that shit on an Adult Swim forum. And maybe somebody will notice it who actually means something.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to a lot, like, one of mine that I've been thinking about, I listen to a lot of podcasts. There's certain podcasts who ask for submissions from their fans for certain things, and there's ones who, just judging by how they treat their fans and how they talk about them, would love it if their fans took it upon themselves to, say, remix a theme song, or take certain quotes from their podcast, work it into a tune, and then send it to them. They're going to play that shit, hopefully, if they dig it, they're going to play that shit on their podcast and get you a ton of new followers. Like, you know, like, it's kind of, the Grey hacking itself, like, it was well named, because it's kind of a gray area. It's one of those things that, as a musician who's pure to your craft, you kind of feel skeevy almost, thinking about shit like that. But that's how things work in 2013.
And that's also, I mean, it's not skeevy if you think about, like, there's people who just go day to day unexposed to what you're into, and vice versa. And when you can make that connection to be like, look, I'm actually into comic books, or I'm into, you know, just use it as an example. And suddenly it's like, oh, okay, this person I identify with a little bit more now. I'm going to check out their back catalog or what they do, because we share a common interest. It's like, okay, wow. Like, getting personable again with people.
That comes back to that whole, I just recently watched Amanda Palmer TED Talk, and she talked about making connection with people, because she's crowdsourced all sorts of projects and stuff. And, but she used to be like a busker, and so like standing on the street, you know, asking for money basically. And she said, "You learn how to make a connection with people to where you're not just asking them for money. It's not like you're not like, hey, can you give me money? It's like, do you want to do you want me to continue my craft?
Podcasts are a good example of that. Like." I listened to a Big and Loud podcast, a local Portland one, a couple of local comedians. Funny, like, check it out, they're funny. But they're doing a thing right now where they, one of the dudes, Big Jim, has never gone to Vegas. And the other dude is from Nevada, grew up in Reno, and knows Vegas fucking hella good too. And he's like, we gotta go, but we're both broke ass Portland comedians. So they, you know, they were kind of joking about it at first on the podcast and mentioned it like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we got our fans pay for us to go down there? And then people started saying, no, we'll fucking donate a little bit. So then they threw a PayPal button on the site and said, send us to Vegas. And they're almost there. Like, they didn't even need to do the Kickstarter thing, which, that's a whole nother thing. Like, the Kickstarter shit, we'll just touch on it briefly because it's been beaten to death in the news already, but the Veronica Mars thing, like, talking about getting your fans to fuck it, like, they got their fans to essentially invest in a Hollywood picture via Kickstarter.
What do you mean we paid for that? That's going to be the lawsuit after. I paid How much for this Metallica movie?
Yeah, I heard somebody else say that they were like, "What? I can't wait for the class action lawsuit and all the investors, quote unquote, aren't happy with the final product."
Yeah. This isn't but, what I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
15,000 creative differences.
but yeah, like, you know, promotion.
Who needs it? 2013.
It sucks. It's terrible.
Well, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's like, it's 2013, a musician's not just a musician anymore. Yeah. You have to be your PR, you have to do your networking, you have to do it all.
You gotta do your own stunts.
People are persona, they're characters. They're moving on for, like, with more so people using Twitter, especially on Twitter, people have become characters. They run characters.
Yeah.
Basically a comedian type of thing. You just run.
Yeah.
And you gotta think like the Wu-Tang when you do that. It's like, you're not yourself, you're a character. And that's what you, like, you play into certain parts, and obviously you live your regular life, but at the same time you play a part as this person.
Yeah, like, to tie it back to the machine drum thing, like, that's, like, like I said, empathize with the dude, nothing but love for him, amazing music, but handled that shit poorly. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to realize that even if that's how you feel inside, like, it could be tearing you up to say that to potentially thousands of people.
When you have thousands of people watching you, you don't say that shit on the internet.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right?
Because people just, especially on the internet, love tearing apart people in a weak position.
Yeah, they live, like, everyone on the internet is wolves.
I learned a lesson early years in my DJing. Super big gig, stoked on it, going really good, I'm fucking, everything's butter, all my mixes are butter. Halfway through the set, I pick up the wrong needle after my mix is done, and just... It was, you know, it was like the fucking teenage movie. Like, picked up the wrong needle. Everybody looked up at me. I just dropped it and ducked behind the decks, like, I don't know what just happened. And just, like, stayed back there, just almost, like, fucking, just like, what the fuck? This is. Composed myself, grabbed my next record, stood up, threw it down, looked out on the crowd. Everybody was smiling. Nobody gave a fuck. Like, you know, it's how you handle it. If I would have freaked out and let that, like, just let it get to me and not, you know, like, took that second to be like, okay, you know,
I mean, I've seen that at shows where I was at a show where I was not particularly thrilled, but the sound went out and the crowd cheered. They were like, yeah! And his sound was out for, like, 3 minutes, which is unacceptable. Oh, that's
forever.
In electric music, you know, club world, 3 minutes is a long ass time. I don't like set breaks.
Yeah.
There's a reason I'm not seeing a live band tonight.
Oh, dude, we used to have a saying way back, and I wish it would catch back on. Like, maybe we can have it as a mantra for Bronsonic. Silence is death.
Oh. Please, no mic checks.
Yes. Like, I'm so tired of the... We're switching artists, so we're just gonna fucking
PA
kill it.
Oh god.
Yeah.
And then silence for 2 minutes while they plug in fucking bullshit.
And then music that's completely not related playing out the PA.
Elevator music.
Yeah. Why are you playing
Kate
Otis
Moss
Redding?
Is playing.
Stop.
Yeah.
I'm wasted.
So outside of the book, what's hot in the streets?
So yeah, check out. Yeah, Florida. I'm on a fucking tangent again. Sessions will do that. Check out Strange Flow's book. Definitely worth the. I think it's on Amazon. It's on iTunes bookstore. It's on his website. I think you can buy it directly, which is probably the best way to do it.
Get that shit.
But yeah, grab it if you're a musician. It's got some really good ideas, and just it'll get you thinking about new ways to think about how to get your music out there without feeling like an asshole. Like, that's really what it really comes down to, is come up with some shit that nobody's thought of and people are going to pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something creative, like...
Be original!
Be fucking original. Not just in your musical style, which that should be paramount, but also in how you present that style.
Yeah.
Cliche as fuck. Do you.
Yeah. No, I just somebody just tweeted or quoted. Now I can't think of who it was, but it was Oscar Wilde. Be yourself. Everyone else is taken already.
Yeah, that's a good
one. That is a good one.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, what's hot in the streets?
Florida's gonna blow up. I'm gonna just say that right.
Like physically, because I could see that happening.
Yeah. Florida has a lot of meth. Florida has some crazy shit in the water, man. Their rappers are insane. Raider Clan's been doing shit for a while. Buckwheat Bill's about to blow up. I don't know if you guys heard about Buckwheat Bill. He's about to be some hot shit. Kesha Dollar. His tape came out like last week. That shit was hot. Picasso. I'll post links to all this shit. That's a dope name. The album artwork is like amazing too.
Like we were talking about aliases earlier. That's a fucking
Picasso? Yeah. Oh, well, his name's Kashi, but.
Oh, that's the name of his.
That's his mixtape. His mixtape is Picasso.
I thought you were saying another artist name. No, that's a fucking dope artist
name. That would be a good name, but. No, that came out. I've just been listening to that, and Gucci dropped 2 new tapes that were pretty garbage.
But the couch?
No.
So that's what's cold in the
street. Yeah, that's pretty basic. Brr. But
that's a new segment on Train Wreckers.
Brr. Yeah. Brr. That's basically what I've had.
Shitty in the streets.
Gucci's new tape.
Brr. Miami's mixtapes are hot.
For me, it was that new Coaster track, See Me. That's an alias by OK, who does a lot of trap music, dude from California. I just feel like the alias is a little bit more future.
Yeah, Coaster's gonna probably pick up.
Hate to throw that term around, but that tune, I'm like, this is more long-term production stuff that will survive.
No, that was because I've been hearing played that one before we recorded the podcast. We checked out that Coaster tune. Like I've been hearing like other bubblings in other corners of music podcasts and shit talking about how the '90s are gonna make a comeback in the best way, like rap stylistically, beat wise, like
some sexy R&B shit,
some good R&B, and I'm okay with that, like. I lived through I'm a child of the '90s, and I miss it.
I'm okay with it as long as it's. There has to be a fine line between. There's some people that want to recreate the '90s,
yeah,
right,
and then there's paying homage to the
'90s. Yeah, there's difference between.
I want future '90s. Right. I don't want rehash
'90s. Being inspired by it, and there's trying to recreate.
Yes,
it.
There's
that,
like,
and that Coaster shit was definitely
inspired.
With lots of nice 2013 production techniques thrown over the top of that shit.
It's like one thing to be like, I'm nostalgic and I want to pay respects to this. It's another to just be like,
if I want to listen to New Jack Swing, I'll listen to New Jack Swing.
Exactly.
I want your take on New Jack Swing in 2013.
I mean, that's the thing I've been realizing more and more. Like, there's albums I consider to be timeless, and even though they're timeless, I don't play them. Mm-hmm. I love these albums to death. I would rate them high on my list of albums, but I'm not going to play them unless somebody hasn't heard them for some strange fucking reason. I want to listen to new, fresh things always. I'm, like, so addicted to just, like, new, fresh... And so when I'm hearing stuff that just sounds like you're trying to be like the '90s, I don't want to listen to that.
No.
I want to listen to something new... But that makes me feel nostalgic and all warm and fuzzy inside.
That's exactly it. That's a great way to put it. That's exactly it. For me, it's like music front. I've been digging on Milo, this rapper out of Green Bay, DePere. Heard about him on Shots Fired. He was on an episode where they were just talking about it was him and John Wayne talking about kind of underground, the current kind of independent underground rapper status. Dude is a philosophy major at a tiny liberal arts college in De Pere, Wisconsin, and has mind-blowing raps over tiny little micro house hip-hop style beats that are just, killer shit. Check it out. His stuff's on Bandcamp. Throw him a few bucks. Download it. helping pay his rent.
Nice.
What else? The Bronisonic comps.
Like, oh, yeah, we got comps and shit.
I keep listening to those, man. Like, I have some playlists on my iPhone, and I just throw that shit on shuffle and fucking do it. I mean, I'm not trying to be, like, fucking weird the shit, but they're really good
compilations. It came together nicely. Yeah, it really has. Really good
so far, and the next one is shaping up to be the same way. Like, yeah, I'm stoked.
It's also stoked. Just, like, the energy you get from knowing you're doing something with your homies and, like, everybody's working on something. It's a cool motivator to get in the studio and sure. On the track.
And kind of, like, we're, like... It's like an unspoken kind of one-upping, like,
yeah.
Kind of how it feels for me. You're like, I'm not, like, trying to, like, dominate or anything, but it's like, oh, I think my shit's the shit. And then you listen to everybody else, and it's like, oh, fuck.
Everybody I gotta tried, step it up. Yeah, everybody, like, is encouraging everybody to step their game up.
Yep, it's excellent. I'm feeling this shit. I'm very happy so far. What else? Like, a Dinosaur Jr. album, at least the first couple tracks I'm digging. trying to think. Oh, Tone Deaf's new EP, Glutton.
I haven't checked that out.
It's interesting. You know, I'm going to be honest, because I don't think he listens to podcasts. Not that I'm going to say disparaging shit or anything. He's a hip-hop cat, and that EP, he's been into electronic music for years.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not, like, seeing a trend and jumping on it. That said, he's got a tune with number 9-6 or whatever that dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It's like the number 9, N-I-N-E-6 yeah. Or something like that. Got a tune with him on production. There's another housier tune with somebody else on production. And then... a couple other, like, kind of housey and breakbeaty and whatever kind of tunes, and they're good. It's quality music. His raps are fucking out there and raw, and he's fucking a phenomenal rapper. My thing with it is, you can, if you're somebody like us who's hella into electronic, it sounds a little dated, and that's no fault on him. He's a hip hop cat.
Yeah.
Like, he's not... It's more a problem with today's... The way music is disseminated today. Like,
digested so fast.
If you're not paying attention to your little corner of the universe, like, you're going to be a year behind automatically.
And that tends to happen when, like, people make electronic music or use electronic music and, like, beats or, like, aren't really... I'm not trying to say, like... part of the scene or something like that, but if you hear somebody like suddenly makes an electronic album that isn't an electronic artist, it typically will sound dated. Like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, well, Chemical Brothers already did this, Aphex Twin, or, you know, it's like you can there can only be so many of those already.
Yeah, we hear it as a ton of references that we already
exactly,
know.
Exactly.
But to them, it's like, well, I heard this one thing once and I really dug it, and you know, it's nothing against it. It's just, you know, different. It's like when I hear backpacker hip hop shit from the mid '90s, like, I can't split that shit apart. But I'm sure Tone Deaf could be like, well, that's New York,
yeah,
and that's fucking exactly. Florida, same. And that's West Coast, and that's this, that's it. You know, like, so I'm sure if I tried to make a fucking backpacker hip hop album, like, you know, whatever. And I'm not trying to pigeonhole him at all, but you know what I'm saying. I'm just using it as an example. Like, if I tried to make a backpacker hip hop album, it would probably sound dated to anybody in that scene.
Of course, yeah.
I feel like that's how scene. Kind of, there's always the people in the scene that are making the scene, moving the scene, and then there's the outside people that are seeing what they're kind of like.
They're getting the highlight.
They're 6 to 3 months back. They're watching all this and taking the best of kind of, and then they're making a best of the best of.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
and to add on top of it. He's old school in his production techniques. He's been working on this for 6 to 8 months. So some of those early beats
are dated.
Are dated, yeah. It's just the shit's moving so fast at this point that unless you're like, I have these raps written, I'm going to buy my beats tomorrow and put the album out in a week, some of it's going to sound a little older.
I think that's a topic.
And I don't take that, you know, like, I don't want to take that away from his, from that album. Like, you should definitely go check out Glutton. And the concept behind the whole thing is pretty fucking cool. He's doing a, it's a four-part EP series. And then they're all going to be collected into an album called Polymer. So, you've got...
How long are the EP?
Glutton was 5 tracks or 6 tracks, something like that. So it'll be
probably topping around 20, 23.
Yeah, give or take. I would say 20-ish, 18, 20 tracks probably. And the final version is going to be available as vinyl, CD, whatever. He's got a little... It's not a Kickstarter, but it's Kickstarter-like pre-order thing on their page. You know, like if you pre-order at a certain level, you're going to get blah, blah, blah. Otherwise, you just download the EPs as they come and throw a playlist together when it's all put together, if that's all you care about is music. But it's a brilliant way to do it too, because he's doing the vinyl on a paper basis, CDs are getting pressed on a paper basis, so if he only gets an order for 5 vinyls, he's going to only make 5 vinyls and save himself a shitload of money.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, like, yeah, it's a cool idea, and I think he got this one out on time, although he lost a bet on tacos and chocolate milk, if you guys don't follow that shit. Pac FM bet him that he wouldn't get it out on time. He missed the deadline by 2 hours.
Oof.
And lost his bet and had to shave his legs. And did it on the podcast. I was proud of him. Did nice. It right there on the podcast.
Nice.
So... check all that shit out. Check out Bramasonic. If you're in Portland, check out Bottom Heavy Thursdays.
What?
This one new monthly. Out, yes.
Yeah, this one might probably won't be out in time.
We definitely won't.
But the next one definitely be there if you aren't at this one. Check Bramasonic.com for more information. Bronisonic.com for all your Bronisonic needs. Go get the EPs, they're free.
Grab them.
Follow us on everything. Facebook, yeah. Bronisonic Bandcamp, Bronisonic.bandcamp. Fuck Twitter for Bronisonic because it's all of us.
Yeah.
But follow the Train Record Pod on Twitter.
Yep.
Facebook.com/TrainRecordPodcast. If you got a question or comment,
email
us at trainrecordpodcast@gmail.com and hit us up on the Facebook page with questions, comments, suggestions. Leave us more comments.
It makes us feel really good about ourselves.
That's what it was. One Call System is the other cat. Shout out to One Call System for leaving a comment. Thank you for listening, brother. Keep listening. Shout out again to Chrissy Valentine. Big up, girl. Continue things. Shouts out to Strange Flow. Fucking motherfucker wrote a book. How many of you motherfuckers wrote a book?
I never wrote a book.
And yeah. Keep listening. Tell a friend, please. Tell a friend.
Shit, buy a Facebook ad.
Buy a Facebook
ad. Buy a Facebook ad and tell all your friends.
We out!
And yeah.
Peace!